So a lot of you know that I play the banjo, and you've seen and you've heard the banjo a couple times here. But really, I used to play the banjo a lot more, and I used to play it every week. This was years ago now, and I used to play it a lot more. And when you're playing an instrument like that, lots, you play it better. And I used to play it way better than I play it now. But I remember a time, even when I was playing my banjo lots, I got to a point where I kind of hit a plateau. And I just didn't seem to be getting any better at playing. I couldn't, you know, I was just kind of stuck. I hit this spot, and I wanted to be a better banjo player, and I wanted to be able to go faster and do more rolls and all kinds of stuff. But I just was stuck. I was in this plateau. And then one day, so this tells you how long ago it was. It was when I lived in Saskatchewan, and I actually was into a Chapters bookstore, and in Regina, in Saskatchewan, and I found the solution to my banjo plateau. It was awesome. It was the perfect banjo how-to book for me, because it was actually called Banjo for Dummies. And I saw the title, I saw the book cover, I thought, yeah, I grabbed it and I bought it. And I just knew that this was the answer. I said to myself, I know this would, you know, this would be it. And you know, I know that this would have gotten me moving ahead and in my banjo playing, and probably got me over that plateau. But guess what? I didn't read it. I know. I did flip through it, and I kind of looked at some pictures, but that's about as far as it went. And then and even with the Banjo for Dummies book, I made some excuses, and I made excuses, more than one even, not to read that thing. And the first excuse that I told myself was, this is a big book. Like, it was this thick, right? And I thought, yeah, I put it aside. That was excuse number one. And then I came up with another one. The first excuse that I told myself was that it was a big book, and I never even really made time. I just kind of, it sat there and it sat there and it sat there, and then when I did try to actually pick that book up and look at it again, I just flipped through it, looked at some pictures in it, and maybe a couple of the diagrams, and then I came up with another excuse. and I'm going to tell you what my second excuse was, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I convinced myself, I had myself convinced that book was too complicated. That's right, Banjo for Dummies was too complicated for me. That's what I had myself convinced of that. That's pretty bad. But you know what? I, looking back at that, I think I was wrong. I actually went looking for that book to bring it this way. I can't even find it. I don't know where it is. But I'm pretty sure I was wrong about both of those excuses. And I kind of regret not having dove into that. And if I had just read it and did what it said, I would probably be a really good banjo player now. And that's kind of a sad story. And I was an okay banjo player. I'm not an okay banjo player. I don't play enough. But I regret not reading it back then. But really, if I can find that book, I'm pretty sure it's not too late. I think it's still not too late. My fingers are still pretty nimble, so I think I could actually pull it off. But enough talk about banjos for dummies. I want to talk about something else this morning, and I'm not going to talk about that book. And this is the book that I want to talk about this morning. Amen. This is the book.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I didn't give up on this book. And I have a couple questions for you. This book that I have here, my Bible, and I know a lot of you have Bibles. Here's my question for you. Do you read it? Do you actually read it? Not as much as you should. Well, thank you for your honesty. I don't either. The next question is this. If you do read it, do you read it often? Do you read it often? And if not, I'm going to ask you this. What's your excuse? I want you to be honest with yourself. Think about that. You don't have to answer it out loud, but what is your excuse that you make for not reading your Bible? I kind of got this in my head this week because there's a guy on YouTube, and I can't even remember his name. He's one of my favorite guys, though. Braylon? Anyway, I'll find it. And I was watching him this week, and it might have been last week, and quite often he wears this t-shirt, and it just, in big letters across his chest, it says, "Read your Bible. Read your Bible." And that's what kind of got me going on this topic this morning, is that guy's t-shirt. Read your Bible. And I don't know what your excuse is. Maybe you've told yourself that you don't have time to read it. And maybe you've told yourself it's just too complicated. We come up with all kinds of excuses not to read our Bibles. And my message this morning, it is very simple, and it's even stereotypical, as you hear. Read your Bible. God has something important to say to you, and He says it right here. And here's something else I want to tell you. Don't rely on dummies like me to give you the only Bible that you get each week. I didn't call you, Pastor Steve. I didn't call you a dummy, okay? No, I didn't. I didn't. Like me. Because guess what? If you rely on guys like me and guys like Pastor Steve, who isn't a dummy, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Paul says this to a young pastor, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to 2 Timothy. I've got my pages all wrinkled up here. Oh, I put these tabs in here thinking it was going to be real easy to find stuff. Here we go. But I do have a new Bible in the printing, and it's almost as big as the letters up there. Like, look, I'm leaving my reading glasses even here, and I can still read it. It's amazing. This is the second week that I've used this Bible, and I really enjoy it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says this. I encourage you to read more of this book, 2 Timothy, at another time. But this was part of a warning that Paul was giving to young Timothy. And part of it, he said to him, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having..." Or let me start over. Okay, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And that time came. That time came to the early church that we read about in Scripture. And that time came and it is still here. Maybe even more so now, I don't know. But the time is also here when Christians are not reading Scripture. That's also a time that is here. And even though the Bible is so easily accessed, we even have it on our phones, don't we? I know a lot of us, we have it right on our phones, and I know that there are many people here who read their Bible every day, and I'm encouraged about that when you tell me where you've been reading. And but I also know that it's easy to choose not to. It's real easy to choose not to. And I want you to be honest with yourself and ask why you are not reading more of God's Word. And then ask if it's a good reason. So this morning, simplicity is where it's at here. And I have an acrostic of the word Bible for you. So B-I-B-L-E, right? We're going to look at the word Bible, and I want it to be an encouragement of what this book is. And the letter B I have this morning is going to stand for beautiful in its language. The Bible is beautiful in its language. Let me read to you a beautiful passage, and it's one of David's Psalms, and it's actually Psalm 23, and this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, and surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Bible is beautiful in its language and beautiful in its message also. And in this psalm, we read about David's career shift, really. He started out as a shepherd boy, and then he became a king of Israel. And the first four verses of Psalm 23, which you just heard me read, are really pastoral. And then there's a switch. And then the last two verses, the reader can picture David the king sitting at a banquet table while his defeated enemies look on. And I'm so glad that David wrote this psalm. And get this, David's God is my God. David's God is your God. How cool is that? So one day I was thinking about this psalm, and I was reading it, and I said it's one of my favorites, and I find it beautiful. And I thought, I'm going to make a video about just that psalm, and to try to catch the beauty of it. And I uploaded it onto YouTube even, and it's had a whopping 50 views. I'll play it for you. So we're going to play it. It's only a minute long. Here it is again.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod, your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
I love that psalm. The Bible is beautiful in its language and beautiful in its message. Next letter in Bible is I. And I want to tell you this morning that the Bible is incorruptible. Incorruptible in its nature. Another short passage, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 23 and 25 says this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. This is talking about salvation. And we get to be saved. And yes, we get to be saved from something awful. We get to be saved from hell. I felt I needed to say that at least once on Wednesday night. It was brought up at prayer meeting that you don't hear that from the pulpit much anymore. People don't talk about hell. Well, hell's real. And people need to be saved so they don't end up there. But this passage is talking about salvation. We get saved, born again. And the Holy Spirit has his part in saving us. But I love this passage, and it says that the Word of God has a big part. And I'm so glad that I am saved. And I heard the same gospel that was preached when this passage was written. I repented and I believed that Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the dead. And promises me that I'm going to be with him forever. I am so glad that the Bible is incorruptible. The next word. So we've done B and I. Well, here's another B. B-I-B. The Bible is a book of light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119. Now I've got my pages stuck together even. That word, or that verse says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's a good one to memorize. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here's a question for you. Have you ever stumbled around in the dark? I hate that. And guess what? It's dangerous to do that. It's dangerous to stumble around in the dark. And I hate what that feels like. Here's a question for you. Ever feel like you're stumbling around in life? Just stumbling around? Well, guess what? It's dangerous. And God's word is a lamp to guide our feet. God's word lights up the whole path that we're walking on. And I'm so glad that the Bible is a book of light. Moving on to L. L. The Bible is loving in its message. Here's a familiar passage, John 3:16. And let's add the next verse too. John 3:16 and 17, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Another question. Ever feel unlovable? I get feeling like that sometimes. Guess what? The Bible is written for you. God's word, it tells us how much he loves us. Those two verses tell us how much he loves us. And I'm so glad that the Bible is loving in its message. One more word, one more letter in the word Bible. E. The Bible is everlasting. The Bible is everlasting. We're going to look at a part of John, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 in just a moment. But I sat down and actually read through Matthew 24, and I read it through a few times. In one setting, I just sat there and I read it over and over a few times. And each time I read it, I seemed to have different emotions, and I was thinking about different things. And as I read the 24th chapter of Matthew, even one time I read through it, I cried. I encourage you to read Matthew 24 this week. But Matthew 24 is a passage where Jesus is foretelling the future. He's talking about some future events that are coming. And for many people that you read about, and when you read Matthew 24, I couldn't help but notice that for many, it's going to be the end. What Jesus is talking about there is the end. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 35 of Matthew 24. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And remember, I'm saying that the Bible is everlasting. That's the E. And I have said many times, and you've probably even heard me say it from here and maybe in a conversation, but I believe every word in the Bible. I believe every word is true. I believe that. Now I'm working at understanding everything it says and every word. And I have a way to go there. But from this passage and from this verse, I know that the Word of God is everlasting. Oh boy, I almost went off on a rabbit trail there, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to leave you with this. Read your Bible. Remember that guy's t-shirt? I'm going to get one made like that. I'm going to get a t-shirt. Yeah. Read your Bible. It's beautiful in its language. It's incorruptible in its nature. And it's a book of light. And it's loving in its message. And it's everlasting. How incredible. So make time to read it. And don't get to the place where you might regret not reading it. And guess what? If you have neglected it and you've left it, it's not too late. So let's pray. God, I thank you for loving us. You are an amazing God, and thank you for your word. God, I pray for each one of us here this morning. Help us to be hungry for your word and to make the time. Help us to realize that our excuses for not reading our Bibles aren't good reasons. God, help us also to encourage each other to spend more time reading. God, help us put this into practice this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.